God, we thank you for this evening, this time to worship, to come together as family, as community, and to declare that you are holy. You are set apart. There is nothing like you. You are our creator, our king, our Lord, our savior, our redeemer, the one who loves us, the one who is love. And God, as we connect with you tonight, as we sing together about you, to you, may we fall more in love with you. We thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to be here. In your name, we all said, amen. Well, you're already seated, so that's fantastic. How are we? We okay? Good. Just a little bit tonight. Just a little bit. Only an hour and a half, and then we can go back into worship. Just a little bit. No? Okay. Sorry. I'm filled with great jokes this evening. It's fantastic. For a majority of my childhood, I was in a team sport. One sport. One team. And we stayed together. Like 80% of us stayed together from 8 to 18. And every single day, I played water polo every single day. And in high school, I remember that when we were working together as a team and we knew all each other's faults, we knew each other's strengths, we knew each other's, you know, all that stuff. We knew everything about each other because we've grown up together. And when someone was hurt or someone was, you know, weak, the rest of the team was affected. We knew it. We felt it. We understood it. In the same light, our coaches would consistently remind us that we are a team. So much so that if we were late to something, you had to pay your dues. And it wasn't just you, it was everyone. And being a junior in high school and having a water polo practice at 5:30 in the morning is not cool. For one, you have to wear a Speedo, and it's really early in the morning and cold. It's horrible. It's not nice. It's really bummer. Sorry for the mental image. But all that to say is that I had to wake up one morning, and I slept through my alarm, and practice starts at 5:30, and I woke up, and it was 5:30, and it was one of those moments like, oh, no, I'm so dead. But I'm not just dead, my whole team. And so I'm, like, driving and dreading, and I get to the pool deck, and I'm walking out there, and I'm like, oh, hey, guys. And everyone's on the bleacher. It's like 5:45 by this time. They're all in their Speedos on a cold morning. The sun's not even up on the bleachers. And the coach says, nice for you to show up, Sean. And I'm like, ah. And I literally, like, there's people staring, like death stares at me. And they're like, get in the pool. We're swimming. 100, 100s on the 130. Now, if you don't understand swimming, 100 means 100. 100s mean four laps. It's 25-yard pool, so you 1, 2, 3, 4. On 130 means 1 minute and 30 seconds. For every 1 minute and 30 seconds, we're doing four laps 100 times before school. I can't tell you how much my mistake affected all of us. They were like, no way. It was painful. It was daunting, but the coach made it clear, you're a team. And when one messes up, everyone is affected by it. Vice versa. When one succeeds, we are all affected by it. Paul begins to give us that imagery, that kind of mentality, but from a tribal standpoint, not from a team standpoint, from a tribal standpoint in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 19, or verse 18. He says this. He says, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Fantastic, right? Verse 19, because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners, but because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Now, for us in a Western culture where we're very individualistic, that seems a bit weird, but for a Jewish standpoint, it wasn't. Because with Jews, they are an ethnic group. There's solidarity there. There's community. There's unity. That they see themselves as a tribe, as a whole, as one, right? So much so that when you were to say, hey, what's your name? You say, oh, my name's Bob. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin or whatever it may be, right? There is a sense that we are all a part of this community. And as a result of us all being a part of this community, we are all affected by each other, positive or negative. And here he's saying that there are two kinds of humanities that exist now. That we're all born into this Adam-like humanity where sin is at play, right? And you see it very early on when you have kids, you notice it real quickly that you didn't teach your kids to say, mine! But they just like picked it up, didn't they? You're like, what in the world? Where did that come from? Like my daughter, like someone takes something from, or she just goes up and says, that's mine, and takes it from somebody. I didn't teach you to do that. And she goes, mine. And then they take it and they all start crying. And I'm like, what is this? This is Adam's humanity. This is sin at play. This is not how it's supposed to be kind of thing, right? That's what sin is. It's not how it's supposed to be. We miss the mark. It decays. It corrupts us. There's that kind of humanity. And because it's stemming from Adam, the rest of the course of history is affected by it. But there's another humanity that exists. And Paul begins to talk about both of these. And you see it happening. If you look in the Old Testament, there's a guy by the name of Achan in Joshua chapter 7. And Achan, what he does is he ends up disobeying God. They go into this foreign land to conquer it. They should have conquered it, but they don't conquer it. They don't conquer it because Achan had sinned. And as a result, the whole nation was branded as having sinned and was punished by God. Achan's sin was not one man's sin, but the nation's sin. The nation was not a collection of individuals. It was a mass of people in solidarity. They were a unit group of people and community. So it wasn't an individual who did it. It was the nation that did it, that was seen as it being done. And that's the same kind of idea that Paul is drawing from right now here, that he sees humanity in that way. Not necessarily each individual's, but yes, we are individuals, but we're seen in light of a collective group. That we're all in on this together, that we're all affected by this together. On the flip side, what Jesus has done invites us into a whole kind of new humanity where there is hope and freedom and love. He says this in verse 21. He says, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. From hopelessness to hope. From death to life. Do you see that? A new humanity that we're brought into. No longer are we under the reign of sin, but we're now under the reign of grace. And the result of that is freedom. Freedom to live life in the midst of a fallen world. Freedom to have this new kind of humanity now, right here in this place where you're sitting now. You see, Christianity isn't so much a belief system at its core. It's a family. It's a new humanity. It's a community of solidarity. I feel like for us as Christians, we need to take baptism a little more seriously. We're baptized, we are brought in, we are transformed into a body of people, right? A family, which means that when we bicker, at the end of the day, we're still family, right? But what you see is people bicker and they go, you're no longer a part, I'm out. Why? Because it's the basis of your belief and how you've perceived it. No, we're family. Let's keep fighting together, bickering together. Messy, family is messy, is it not? Right, come on now. It's messy. You gotta love Thanksgiving, right? It's like Thanksgiving every week here, guys. It's awesome, but it's hard and sometimes painful, but beautiful. Why? Because we're no longer under the reign of sin. Condemnation, guilt, gone. We're now under the reign of grace. You and me, grace. And what is the reign of grace doing? It is pushing us forward to a brighter future. That is filled with what Paul says, eternal life. When he says eternal life, it's not necessarily what many of us may be thinking, as if we're going to leave this place and go off into a distant land, into a place that's outside of everything and the clouds somewhere called what heaven. He never talks about that. He's not talking about that. What he's talking about, Paul mentions that idea. He's talking about that we are going to rise up in a bodily resurrection, and God is going to renew all things in the heavens, which means the stars, the galaxies, and the earth, and you and me. All things are going to be made new. All things. The reign of grace is pushing us towards a brighter future in which eternal life, all things in the age to come, will be made brand new, perfect life. No more wars. No more backbiting. No more cancer. No more pain. Newness, life that is filled with love and hope and justice and peace and wholeness and life. That's what eternal life looks like. Do you see that? This new humanity that we're brought into, literally adopted into. And as we are adopted into it, we get to start with it right here, right now. New heavens, new earth, new bodies, and a perfect solidarity between each other and God. That sounds fantastic, does it not? Right? We're not just doing stuff because it sounds good and feels good. We're not just like, this makes sense. I'm gonna believe that. Yeah, you can, but man, there's so much more to that. Are you kidding me? The future is unbelievable. What the heck? Brand new earth? All new everything? That's fantastic. I want that. We've been created for it, and he's making it now. And the reign of grace is pushing us towards that right now. When we have a kingdom mindset, by that I mean that we are focused on his kingdom come, that his kingdom would be on earth as it is where? In heaven. Hello. How many of us know that prayer? That's what he's talking about. All new, right? All new. That as we keep our gaze on that, as our hope is set on that, we're able to, in the moment, be hopeful no matter what's going on. We're able to, as a new humanity, as a new people group, in solidarity, in unity, as one, as we come together, we're able to wrestle with our differences because we know that there is going to come a day that is far greater. It gives us hope to fight in the now. To wrestle with each other now with our conversations, to love each other now despite our differences, because there's coming a day that is filled with hope, that we can stand in the midst of our cancer and our sickness now because we know the future is bright, that we can stand in the midst of our financial loss and bankruptcy and debt and be like, man, there's one day that debt is going away. Yeah, it will. It's going to be gone. It's only a season. This, you, right here, right now, what you're encountering, all of this, all of your pain, all of the turmoil, all the stress, all of the worry, all the anxiety, all of it is just a season. The future, the reign of God's grace upon your life, upon my life, the future is bright because all things are going to be made new, including yourself. And that's something to praise about. That's something to worship about. That is something to sing about. That is something that goes from the core of who we are, the essence of who we are, and say, yes, I want that. Yes, you've been created for it. Yes. It's now ours, and we get to walk in that today and tomorrow and the next day because it's yours. It's mine. It's ours as a new community, as a new humanity, as people who are a part of Christ's community. And each day we get to see more people come into that kind of community and be liberated and freed. That, my friends, it's something to sing about. It's something to worship and praise. So be stoked wherever you are right now. Woo! Be stoked. You guys ready to go back into worship? And then we're going to have dessert. And that sounds even more fantastic. I mean, come on, does it not get better? Let's just live in this little bliss here for a second and just praise God. Here, let's pray. God, I just ask right now that wherever we are, that whatever we're dealing with, maybe today was just absolutely horrible and just completely sucked, and I just can't stand it. It's as if everything was going wrong. Or maybe that's been this past week or these past few months, or it seems like forever. God, I ask right now that you would alleviate the burden off of them right now and remind them of your hope. Greater things are in store in the future. And that is not, we know that that is not just like a feel-good statement, but it is a reality. That our current situation is just a season. May we cling to you this evening and praise you and worship you together in solidarity as a community of people coming together. May we worship you and lift you up and thank you for bringing us into this new humanity where we can encounter life and wholeness and healing and peace and love, that we right now can be embraced by your presence, because you are not a distant God. You are imminent. You are close. You are here right now. And we desire to encounter you. And so we take this time to do so. In your name, we all said, amen.